In 1934, Southampton began preparations for a war they prayed would never happen. The city recognised that as a port, handling over 20 million tonnes of shipping a year, it would be incredibly vulnerable to attack, but also likely to play an integral role in deployment of troops and or supplies. The Waterworks Engineering Department met with members of the government to discuss how to ensure provision and maintenance of all utilities, gas, water and electricity. The local fire brigades and air raid organisations were ready by 1937, and the first total blackout exercise was undertaken in 1938. By 1939, Military Movement Control, responsible for the planning and scheduling of operations, set up headquarters in Southwestern Hotel. The docks were expanded to accommodate more shipping. This included embarkation hides. These were concrete slips that were used as an embarkation point for tanks and other vehicles destined for Normandy.
Sound effect roll number
91014.
Extra rail depots and sidings were also constructed. More aerodromes were laid out, and stockpiles of food, fuel, and many other supplies were stored away all around the city. The common was requisitioned by the Ministry of Defence, and basic camps were set up. The first and largest camp was laid out in the area north of the Highfield Belmore Path, which is where the Southampton Show and Balloon Festivals were held. At first, these were groups of 10-man bell tents set up by the Royal Engineers. They were in villages of 100 men, and each camp held 500 men. They also erected tents for stores, dining tents, tents for entertainment. Shower tents and naffy tents for catering. The NAFI, for those who may not be familiar with this acronym, stands for Navy, Army and Air Force Institute. This was a separate organisation committed to the welfare and everyday needs of all servicemen and women, ensuring all personnel are fed and clothed. Incidentally, during times when smoking was permitted, or even encouraged, all alcohol and cigarettes confiscated by customs and excise was donated to the NAFI. By the tents, the Royal Engineers also laid hard standing where necessary for vehicles. They dug out latrines, they connected up water supplies, and they fenced in each camp. They dug out slit trenches as basic air raid shelters, and there had to be enough shelter for every soldier. As the war progressed, these bell tents were changed to Nissen huts, each accommodating 20 men, but still in their villages of 100 men. And these groups would all stay together in their groups for marshalling and landing craft load groups. Camp C-19 was erected north of the Highfield Belmore Path 2, west of the North-South Path. These consisted of 77 Nissen huts that were, in 1948, donated to the Education Department for temporary accommodation for Southampton schools. The post-war baby boom caused an urgent need for infant and junior school classrooms. They also prepared a marshalling camp on the small common opposite Taunton School. This became a transit camp and was emergency accommodation if there was a hold-up on D-Day, but was later used as a prisoner of war camp, subsequently a refugee camp, and post-war offered homes to people who had been bombed out of their houses. Each hut could fit four families, with only curtains to divide the space, although they did have flushing toilets and could cook very basic meals. One of my friends, although not actually born in a hut, returned there from hospital when she was 3 days old and lived there for her first year. She said her mother had often reminisced about the huts and said the time there was the happiest days of her life. We can only guess that all the huts in all the camps here had water and sanitation installed, as in 1970, in his annual report to the town council, Mr. Jerd, the head of Parks and Recreation, stated they'd found a complete network of sewers discovered beneath the common. The US Army camp was between the Avenue and Firsdown Road. They erected their own type of Nissen hut called Quonset huts. Quonsets were lightweight structures, shaped like half a cylinder and built out of corrugated galvanised steel. They were built on concrete bases and with cinder paths around them. Many of the concrete bases affected the flora and fauna there in later years. Although the plants were still plentiful, they changed completely in type. There were four Quonset huts on the corner of Highfield Road and Highfield Avenue that were the US Army officers' mess. And post-war, two of these were given to Highfield School for classrooms, and two were used as a central kitchen to supply school meals to children around Southampton. My neighbour was a cook there, and she told me many stories about the huts. These four huts were later demolished in 1970. Because of the incredibly high volume of traffic in the area, the roads in many cases were open to military traffic only, and that had to operate a one-way system. Many roads around Highfield, especially those between Hartley Avenue and Portswood Road, had lorries and jeeps parked there during the lead-up to D-Day. Hospitality was extended to drivers and crew by local residents, probably in exchange for tinned fruit or other luxuries. Highfield Church Institute was also used all the time as a rest centre where soldiers could relax with light refreshments while facilities were provided for letter writing to families at home. In the lead-up to D-Day, all the camps were sealed on May the 21st. No one was allowed in or out, or able to communicate with the outside world while the men were given their orders. The plan for action were top secret. The British Army here was destined for Sword Beach, the US Army for Omaha.